It is time for Kaleidoscope on KDOM, and today we're talking with Liz Stahl with the University of Minnesota Extension Office. How are you today?
We're doing good.
We appreciate you taking time out. It's a busy time of year. Everybody going back to school and the season's changing and people are getting ready for harvest. It just, everybody's running.
Well, that's right. And, you know, just the weather change that we've had here, a lot cooler. And just over the past week, I really noticed how much the crops have just been starting to turn. So it's like, yep, here we are, you know, getting ready for harvest. And that's kind of one of the things I wanted to highlight was, you know, again, as we're looking at field, you can see where you had some weed management challenges where we've got weeds poking through the canopy, and, you know, there can be some significant patches out there too. And the thing is, you know, nobody likes weed escapes. We know already at this point, you know, we likely have affected yield. But, you know, we got to be thinking about, okay, we want to prevent any weed seeds from going back into the soil or what we call the seed bank. And because the thing is, we think about like water hemp, for example. Again, that would be like the probably the number one weed for so many fields across the area and across the state. You know, if we can prevent any seeds from getting back into that soil seed bank for 4 years, over 95% of that seed bank will be gone or no longer viable. How we do that, you know, that's another thing. But if we can prevent seed production for 4 years, 95% of that seed bank is going to be gone. Giant ragweed, those seeds are even shorter lived in the seed bank. You know, if we can prevent seeds from going back into the seed bank, we'll see a 95% reduction in about 2 years. Again, that's just really key. And the thing to think about, though, too, is even if we just have one plant, you know, water hemp, for example, that we let escape in the field, we know water hemp, tremendous seed production. You know, one plant can produce a 250,000 up to 1,000,000 seeds per plant, you know, depending how dense it is. Yeah, so it's just crazy. So, again, you know, that's why we really want to focus on preventing getting those seeds back into the seed bank.
You know, those percentages are incredible. Those numbers are crazy high.
It is really neat, you know, because, again, there's some other weed species, of course, we know can live, you know, up to 50, 60, 70 years. We can still find viable seed. But that's kind of the Achilles heel or Achilles tendon, however that saying goes, you know, of like water hemp. It's not that long lived in the seed bank. So we can use that. We can use that to our advantage in trying to get a grip on that out in our field.
So what can
giant ragweed?
What can you do? I mean, if you see it, what do you do to prevent it?
Well, you know, that's the thing. Now at this time of year, you know, and people aren't going to like to hear this, but hey, hand weeding, I know I did this a lot when I was younger, and I've done it all through all my years of my life, but hand weeding, that's a really key effective way to prevent these plants from getting seeds back into the seed bank. It's even more effective if you can do that before those seeds are viable on the plants. So once those seeds start to turn dark, then they're likely going to be viable, you know. So if we get out there early, so we, you know, a lot of those seeds are not viable yet. It takes about 14 days from pollination and water hemp before those seeds become viable. So if we can get in that window or before they start producing any seed, that's really good. If the seeds are viable, well, then that's where, to be most effective, you'd want to pull the plants, bag the plants, get them out of the field. You know, that's a lot more work. But again, you're trying to prevent that from getting back into the seed bank. Other things to be thinking about is look at those fence rows, look at the edge of fields, you know, mow down those weeds if you can. Because, again, you know, if you run combine or tillage equipment, you can be drawing in some seed from those or accidentally drag some plants to the field. Again, you're just trying to prevent those plants from getting back into the field and spreading throughout it. Also, combining, you know, if you've got a big weed patch, hey, if it's all weeds, do you really need to run the combine through there? Combines are really great weed dispersal agents, say, you know. So again, if you don't have to run it through, that's one thing to do. Otherwise, you know, kind of isolate it and then do that at the end. Again, you're not going to spread it throughout the field. Again, harvesting those weedy areas last, and then cleaning out the combine too. An unclean combine, that can hold about, you know, over 150 pounds of, you know, dirt and debris and weed seeds. So there's a lot of potential weed seeds you could have in there. So, you know, running that combine empty for a few minutes can help. Cleaning out any traps, like rock traps and so forth. Using an air compressor hose, too, you know, to blow out any nooks and crannies, that can all help just clean things out. Because, again, we just want to prevent getting that seed spread out throughout the field.
Sure. Well, and a clean combine's a happy combine.
That's right. And, well, and that's the thing, too. If we get a drier year, cleaning out the combine, you know, making sure you don't have any of that dry chaff or any, you know, moving chains and all that stuff, too, and it generates a spark. You know, everybody's heard about combine fire issues. Hopefully you haven't had to deal with that. But that's another thing, too, just keeping things clean. You know, it's been a wetter year this year, but, you know, if conditions dry up, we want to make sure we just don't have that debris around, so if there's, you know, we don't have a spark that could start a fire, you know, with your equipment.
Definitely. Well, looking at the corn, it looks like it is going to be a good year. I mean, the corn looks really good, but there's some diseases in some of it too, right?
Yeah, that's right. I mean, knock on wood, we do have a really good-looking crop out there. I wish we had really good prices to go with that, but, you know, we should have some nice yield potential out there. But you're right, there's been some diseases that have moved in. This has been a big year for southern rust. That's a disease that we typically haven't had to deal with, you know, in our state. It does not overwinter in Minnesota. The spores have to come up from the south. You know, it is favored by wetter conditions, warmer conditions. We certainly had some warmer temperatures this year, so I think the conditions were right, and we've had, you know, our hybrids don't necessarily have a lot of resistance to that disease, so we do have more susceptibility because, again, breeders haven't really been looking at that trait because it hasn't been a big issue up here. So it's been a bigger year for southern rust, tar spot, too, or we're seeing that in a lot of fields as well. But, you know, usually at lower levels, and it's coming in late in the season, which typically we've seen as well. Not saying that every field, you know, that there's not an issue, but, again, most fields, these diseases have moved in late enough. They're at a low enough level that hopefully they're not going to impact yield. And you got to think about, okay, is this over all the plants in my field? Is it just a few plants that look really rough? You know, that all will play a role in whether or not we're going to see an impact on yield. As far as fungicide applications, you know, most of these diseases, you know, they need to have those applications done earlier, like tar spot, anywhere from VT to R2, R3 stage of corn, and we're well past that. Even with southern rust as well, you know, again, we're learning more about both of these diseases, but, you know, we're at the R5 stage with a lot of our crop at the dent, or even, you know, there's some earlier hybrids planted early that they are reaching physiological maturity. So these diseases are not going to impact yield. So that's the thing. I think one thing, though, this has also shown people is really early applications of fungicide, not likely going to help us for these diseases that come in later in the season, because those fungicides only are going to be at a high enough level to have an impact for so long. Then they run out of steam. So, you know, I always encourage people, save those fungicides till when you really need them, you know, and if we do have high enough level, because I have heard a lot of people where they did apply something really early on in the season, but then tar spots come in, well, you know, that active ingredient is gone already. So it just hasn't had an impact on these late coming diseases.
Okay. What else do we need to mention today?
Well, I just want to remind people, too, again, as we get ready for harvest, you know, hey, check out our Extension Crops website. We've got a lot of nice resources on there. Again, you know, all our fertility guidelines are on there for corn and for soybeans and other crops. We also have a lot of resources if you're looking at planting a cover crop. We just recently put out an article on our Minnesota Crop News kind of highlighting some of the different research, you know, looking at, you know, does broadcasting work as good as drilling? Well, drilling has been most effective, you know, and things like that. But there's a lot of resources around cover crops. We've got a tillage guide there. Again, our Extension Crops website, z.umn.edu/crops. And we also have our Minnesota Crop News blog. You can you're not subscribed to that yet, that's a really nice resource, too, where we put out a lot of information, including more information about these diseases, too. You can find, you know, a lot of good resources and info, you know, about the, you know, southern rust issues that we've been seeing this year and tar spot as well.
Very good. All right, Liz, anything else we need to mention as we move into harvest?
Well, it's just crazy, but I sure hope everybody has a really safe and productive harvest season. And again, hopefully, like you say, you know, these prices come around as well, too. But again, hope everybody has a safe harvest season as we move into that time of year here.
Very good. Liz Stahl, thank you for talking with us today.
Sounds great. Thank you.
You bet. And that will do it for Kaleidoscope this morning on KDOM.